Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Scorpio's Talking. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York, and I'm broadcasting from the bright red desk with my window open because it's beautiful fall, and I am joined today by my wonderful friend, Michael. Michael, you there?
Hi, I am. I'm Michael Kohlberg. I'm a psychotherapist in New York City and in Hudson, New York, and today I'm in New York City.
I know. I'm calling you at a different phone number.
And I'm waving at you, Ann. Can you see me?
I can't. My Sotheby's is across the street. It's too big. But we're back. We were off we took a vacation, which we planned, and then it got extended. So now we're back. And we'll be here this week. We might not be here next week, but then we'll be talking to you, you know, going forward.
Yeah, so, I have a health emergency going on in my family, and so I needed to attend to that. Mm-hmm. And next week there's a piece of that hopefully unfolding, and I'll know more, but I doubt that I'm hoping that I won't be around.
Yeah, which is good. So we'll be keeping you posted, but we're back. It's Scorpio's Talking, you know. We have to talk about Scorpio things. So we are finished.
Are there any other things?
Yeah. It's all Scorpio all the time.
Yeah, that's certainly my experience lately.
Otherwise, we're unhappy. So what we're doing is we're finishing up the eclipse season. Some of you listen to my other show where I've been talking about eclipses. And what eclipses do are when the sun and the moon meet in the sky and secrets are revealed, things come to light. Things we didn't know happen, and they happen with the nodes of fate and destiny. So we're at a fated turning point in our life, and most of you have been going through some big changes in your life, wherever the Virgo Libra houses are in your chart, Virgo Pisces house, sorry, are in your chart. The Virgo is inviting you to go forward in a new direction, and the Pisces is gently letting go and saying, that chapter's finished, now it's time for something new. And so the eclipses have been running. Now, this is a pretty long eclipse season. There were three of them. There was one on August 16th, one on September 1st, one on September 16th. And then next week, we wrap it up with the new moon in Libra next Thursday, I think it is, or Friday. So this is a longer eclipse. Normally, they're not 8 weeks long or whatever. This one has been longer than 8 weeks. Normally, they're only 6 weeks. But this one we got an extra moon on, and so it's been a lot. So this right now, we're doing emotional releasing since last week, and we also have a lot going on. We also have a lot going on in the sky. Mercury's trining Pluto, so secrets are being revealed. Of course, Angelina and Brad broke up. Venus is opposite Uranus, which is love's being exposed in a different way. And also we're having Jupiter entered Libra, which is the sign of partners and relationships. So we're moving from our daily work into much more of a partnership relationship energy, partnering with ourselves, partnering with other people. It's all about relationships right now. So it's an interesting time from the astrology point of view. And it's very turbulent. So if you've been feeling a little rocked and rolled, you're in harmony with the heavens. And this weekend, we also have another part two of the explosion that we had when Britain left the EU. The Orlando massacre happened, and Hillary broke the glass ceiling with Uranus and Eris meeting for the second time. So there's a fiery energy out there, too. So it's fiery, it's evolutionary, it's relationship-based, it's releasing the past. It's a lot. Michael, your turn. What are you seeing from the psychology point of view?
I'm seeing that people are either able to access their cores,
mm-hmm.
or not.
Right.
They're accessing their personalities. It's one or the other. And so there's either the ability to access radical trust and faith, because there are no signposts when you access your core. You just get guidance about the moment. Or you really contract into your personality and are guided by your thoughts, which are not very reliable. And your thoughts merge with your feelings, which are not very reliable, and are taking your guidance from the past. So either people are in the present, or they're in their past.
Right.
And my perception is that the people who are, I think everybody is feeling fear, which I'll talk about in a second, but I think that the people who are able to access their cores have access to an unlimited amount of guidance at this moment, but it comes in weird ways. Remind me that I said that because I'm thinking three avenues at once.
Okay. Guidance comes in weird ways. I can remember that.
All right. So
about 30 seconds.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I know.
And I forgot the other thing I wanted to go to. Hold on. Yeah. It might be gone. Anyway, so the weird ways it comes. For instance, I while this was going on, had an experience where I got so angry at something that had happened. There was no evidence of my rage on the surface, but I was beyond angry. I thought I was psychotically angry, and I called my mentor and I said, "I think I'm psychotically angry." And she said, "What happened?" And I told her, and she said, "You're not at all. Your response was totally appropriate, but you've tried to reason with a stone, so you're quite frustrated." So that conversation ended, and I realized I was sitting with this rage, and that I was unwilling to move forward with that.
In you.
Yes, I just could not afford to carry that forward. And I thought, what do I do? So I sat on a bench outside, and I just breathed, and I asked for help. And I said, I don't know what to do with this, and I have a lot of tools. I just don't know what to do with it. So I breathed, and the insight that came to me was And this is not something that I would have thought of. It was to go on my telephone and try to find the original version of the movie Carrie and find the prom scene and look at it. So I watched Sissy Spacek, and I watched it through once, sort of not even believing that what I was feeling was there on the screen. And then I watched it a second time, and at the end I felt completely fine. It was gone.
Right.
So it was, I needed to have an experience of externalizing what I was feeling inside, which is, Anna and I spoke beforehand, and someone and who was attracted to a certain kind of violence, and I said, when I tuned in, it equalizes the outside and the inside. So it's that's a very useful way to move through things, is to just ask for help. Go inside and get very quiet, and don't judge the help that you receive or the guidance you receive, but just go along with it and see if at the end of following it, you have a bit more space inside.
Right. Because you will.
Yeah.
Because you're going to tune into something that gives you some kind of structure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't honestly know how many people are experiencing the density of what I'm experiencing, but there is no time to guess. There is no time to go back and reevaluate something. It keeps coming, so I have to keep clearing space so that I'm clean in the present so that I can deal with the next thing.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's really the important thing to remember is, you know, we've talked for the last year and a half about what your vision is, that there's all these choices that you're looking and you're facing and you're figuring out, and now it's like the time of really forward movement. And it's going to feel very speedy because the planets are in air and fire signs. They've shifted. And once they get into air and fire from earth and water, right, they move faster. Think about air, how fast the wind blows, and, you know, especially more the Gulf, think the Gulf Stream, you know, the one 500 miles a minute up above our head, and the fire, how fast fire moves. They're both yang energies. They're both passionate, they're fiery, and we've got one sign feeding air to the two signs in fire. Now, what's going to happen starting in January through June is we're going to have the two signs in fire talking to each other. So it'll be very, very fiery, very passionate, very fast. This is just the prelude. It gets faster. So you do need to work on having your... Okay, do I need this? No, drop it. Do I need this? No, drop it. Do I need this? Yes, throw it in my pocket. It'll go speedier. Yeah.
So I want to, I hope this is helpful, but at the moment I'm going to talk about something personal, hoping that it's useful to other people. So I haven't been able to walk very far for, 2.5 years or something, just because of my spine. And I had worked with somebody who, an energy worker, whose specific focus is restructuring spines. And he worked on me sometimes in person, sometimes by remote, and it made a big difference. And it was just poised at a place where he said, okay, we've got, you know, all of the stuff is lined up except for this area, which is going to completely pop out at various times. And then he disappeared for 2 years. And he then reappeared, and I got an email saying, I'm back. And I, just because of the rule for me, were that I can't let anybody work on me unless there's clean energy between us. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, we have to clear the fact that you disappeared. And now when it's convenient for you, without letting me know, you're back. Mm-hmm. And he was not up to having that conversation.
Okay.
So I just let it go and continued hobbling around. And then when I really needed to be able to function, I went, you know what, I don't care. I need to find this guy. So we have a friend in common. She was able to get him organized to work on me. And after the first night, I woke up in agony in the middle of the night and then just felt it. I wasn't frightened by it, but I felt it just move slowly through my body and out my feet. And then the next night I slept, but when I woke up, about 20 minutes later after I awakened, very gently these huge cramps started in my thighs, and I noticed that they were equal on both sides, and it just moved through my feet and was gone. After that, I can walk as much as I want. All of it's gone. Da, 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 da. So I ended up seeing this guy in person when he came through New York, and I thanked him at the end for what he'd done. And he said, look, I've worked on 600-plus backs, and what's happened is not supposed to happen. It was not me. It was all of the stuff you've done in the 2 years since we last met. And I was able to pull the cork out, and your body actually restructured itself.
Wow.
And then I've gone to the other people that I go to as I've been able, and they said the structure is different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's there are a few reasons I'm mentioning this, which is, number one, I have a rule that I have to keep things clean before I move forward. That's, like, been my guidance. Well, that's over, clearly. I don't need to. And I just went, the guidance is to get in touch with this guy because I have a lot of people I could have called. It was this guy. And, in fact, he was the person who could uncork a whole bunch of stuff. And then later, the reason for that came to me, why I, you know, have to be open to not having rules like that. And in his case, as I tuned in and thought, I know the lineage of how he developed his capabilities, and the person from whom he learned is somebody I've met, and she is wacko, basically. So she's certainly not... my rule was always, you can't take people further than you've gone yourself, and, well, she can, so can he. So I just needed to broaden and not find any stability in what a guy has guided me to this point, and the results are pretty amazing. So I will
testify, I saw Michael during our time off, and he is, like, zipping around.
Right, and
like
you saw me a couple weeks
problem.
Before that, and I was hobbling around.
Yep, you were hobbling around. Yep.
So I'm just incredibly grateful. But more importantly, it was yet another example of, don't be guided by anything you've come upon to date.
Right. Listen to the current. Just stand in the current and listen to what it's saying to you.
And don't give up your sovereignty. Like, sovereignty is incredibly important. It's like, you are a complete individual, and the world is going to, or the system you're living in is going to reflect back to you that you're doing something wrong quite often, when, in fact, you may not be. So that's powerfully important at the moment.
Yeah, and I will say that the doing something wrong in the moment piece. I'm running into that a lot in the people I'm talking to. Like, did I do something wrong? Is this something I, you know, and it's kind of like, no, you have to kind of go, you have to put that down. And we do, I have a lot of Virgo clients, obviously, and we all think we did it. And I can remember at one point when I was in therapy, and my therapist's like, you think you're awful powerful, that you cause all this shit. And I'm like, well, I do cause it. She goes, no, 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 you're not that powerful. You know, it's wishful thinking, but it's a little magical.
Well, it's not just wishful thinking. It's a smart child's ego defense. And,
yes.
And the way it emerges is that when we're young and we're in a dangerous situation, the only control that we might have to keep ourselves safe, because children are not able to pick themselves up and leave a situation. They're in it and they're stuck, is to think that it's your fault, because if it's your fault, then the possibility exists that you can do something different and change the system.
Got it.
Which is why often when young children who've been abused by their parents are interviewed by the police, the children say, it was my fault, I induced it.
I did something wrong.
Right. So that's what that's about. And otherwise, you know, you go through life feeling like you're in a bus leaving the Swiss Alps and the bus driver is slumped over with a heart attack, which is a very scary thought. So, but it's an important thing to take note of as you go through adulthood, because the biggest significant difference between adulthood and childhood, and we all are both every day, we slip back and forth, is that our main responsibility as adults is to keep ourselves safe. So adults' primary responsibility is to take themselves out of any situation which is dangerous and unhelpful. You can leave the room.
And you can't do that when you're a kid.
No, you can't. So
unless your parents are going, and then you can leave the room. But sometimes you want to leave the parents. You know? Yeah.
But you can't.
And you can't, right. Yeah, interesting. And I do find that that is that sense of responsibility. A lot of people are really willing to put it down now, that somehow they did. Because when you say, no, you didn't do anything wrong, this is their, you know, their things land in your things in a way that make you think you did something wrong. But, you know, that's, they're reflecting for you what you need to look at. So just, you know, look at it, honor it, and then go and do something else or figure out what else you want to do. Because there isn't anything you can do about their crazy or their, the way their thing hooks into your chart. And, you know, a lot of people are like, well, what do I do? I'm like, I don't know. You know, what do you want to do?
Well,
and that's, you know, it's not a time where anybody can answer that question for you externally.
But there is an answer, I think.
Oh,
it's
is there?
Just
okay.
Not where people look for the answer.
Okay.
The answer is to go inside and in your relationship with yourself, complete whatever that process is and go, I've done the best I could. I respect what I did. I've examined it in the best way I can. If I am really stuck, I've reached out for help. And have that be where you're complete.
Right.
You don't look to see how the outcome does not reflect how you've done.
Right. Right. It doesn't.
I mean, in the world at large, we are having massive examples of both people who are doing shitty things and are in very easy places, and people who've done only good things who are really struggling.
Yep.
So it's very important for each of us to develop a capacity to really source our value from ourselves and to be clean with ourselves and not have it be bumped permanently by what's reflected back to us.
Right. Yeah, no, it's totally true. And I think it is, it's hard. I mean,
it's very, very difficult.
Yeah.
But it's a muscle.
Yes.
And we're all going to get bumped. It's like those, I forgot what they're called, but those inflatable clowns that you, you know, are about the size of a large toddler.
Yep.
That you punch. And what you want is not to not get bumped, because we get bumped, but to return to center as quickly as possible.
Right. Where they kind of roll over, then they come back up.
Yeah, and you just want to, there's nothing wrong with being bumped. It means that you're a sensitive person, but you want to then come back into a centered or a congruent place as quickly as possible.
Right. Yeah. No, it's an interesting process. And the other part I thought was interesting, and I, you know, this was one of those living in New York moments, I think. You know, we had a bomb here in Chelsea, or as people were saying, it's not Chelsea, it's the Flatiron. Like New Yorkers, let's correct it. But the thing I thought was fascinating, I have a little bit of a cold, so I've been kind of going to bed because I've got to do, I'm going to Minnesota this weekend and I have to talk for a day and a half. is I've been going to bed and trying to make myself get better. And I was lying in bed and listening to the news report, and the police were like, yeah, these two, the way we found the bomb on 27th Street is these two guys were looking at the suitcase, and they, you know, they opened it up to see if there was anything in it, and they took the bomb out, and then they took the suitcase. He goes, you know, they're lucky they're still alive, but they might have disabled it, you know, because clearly it didn't go off. And then finding the bomb, we were able to find fingerprints of the guy who, you know, built the bomb. But I, you know, I was lying there, and I came out, my two assistants were here, and I'm like, did you guys hear that? These guys took the bomb out of the suitcase? And they both started laughing, and they're like, Ann, you know, you haven't been, like, paying attention to, like, New Yorkers. Yeah, we get bombed. We don't care about ISIS. No big deal. And, or whatever. We don't care about being bombed. No big deal. And I was like, wow. So there's also this sense of reality not doing what it's supposed to do. And that's the, that is something that if everybody can look at that and say reality could be different or reality can change, or that's the reality I'm seeing and now what is it? So the guy who got shot in North Carolina walking with his hands over his head, tasered and shot down by some woman, police officer, like you look at that video and you go, what the hell, man? We're just shooting people in the street. And it's, you have to kind of step into the reality on a different level. And I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it's also a lot for us to go, what's right, what's wrong, what's possible, and then what reality is. And I'm not sure if I'm explaining that right, Michael, but it's got this kind of like we're slicing through reality. And maybe it's to your point of the people that do bad are getting away with it and the people that do good are getting hammered. You know, when we watched Elizabeth Warren give those banker guys a hard time and, like, nobody got fired, everybody got paid, nobody got bonuses, and you ruined people's lives, you know. And you were like, yeah. And then they're like, yeah, that's what happened. You know, and it's this, it's like this time warp thing, which – as a person who tries not to do bad things to people, because I kind of do whatever I put out, I get back, and do I want that back? No. So I'm going to put out good stuff, because that's what I want back. I mean, not to say I don't have mean moments, but I try not to, or I try to handle them in a, you know, in a nice, polite manner, so nobody knows I'm mean, except maybe Rose and Kate, who hear me mutter under my breath. You know, I don't know what the word for that would be. Do you have a way to explain that?
Which part of it do you want me to explain?
Whatever you want to take. Because I'm just very aware of it being like, yeah, reality is just playing with your brain. You know,
well,
it's like you can take a suitcase. Like these guys took this thing out of a suitcase, didn't even think about what they were taking out because they wanted the suitcase. And the guy's like, yeah, they could have blown up. You know, like they were really lucky. And I'm like, yeah, you know, you open a suitcase and you see a bomb in it. You know, I mean, what do they think it was? You know, but that kind of, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? Reality not matching what reality is. Or looking at that guy getting shot and going, how is this not murder? Oh, no, we, you know, you have to understand our side of the story. This is what was going on. I'm like, really? So it's that distortion in the field.
There are multiple timelines that are crossing. And I'm not a great physicist, metaphysicist, or astrophysicist, or... I'm like a quantum physicist, and this is in the quantum field, I think. But time is, we don't understand time accurately. We don't experience time accurately. So we are, in our minds, human beings are located in a moment, but lots of things are going on simultaneously. So there are a bunch of timelines that merge and things that can be addressed, let's say. So if there's a force, let's say, like I'm more comfortable talking about it this way, and I don't have answers for this, but the way you explained it, if there's a force of evil, really, archonic energy that is trying to create fear, that's what that energy does. It tries to maximize fear, because then it has more power over humanity. And there's another force that's trying to counter it. Not that many, so that suitcase gets planted somewhere, right?
Right.
So not that many people are going to go rummaging through suitcases while something is, while the time period, during the time period that's allowable for the rectification, right?
Mm-hmm.
So who's going to go through suitcases? Well, let's plant a couple people here and let's have them do it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because most people wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that ended up stopping more destruction.
Right.
So it's just, you got to bring in multiple layers of reality. There is no reality that is a single point.
Okay.
It's a death system of, it's so multifactorial that our brains cannot really comprehend all of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I very, very carefully emptied my pockets of all of Gene's stuff at one point at home, being very careful to identify what was his and what was mine.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, this whole huge push that had to happen, I realized I had misread something and I needed two pieces of his photo ID. The stuff I had very carefully removed from my pocket, and I'm going, oh my God, what am I going to do now? Because it was very important that I have it. And I reached into my pocket and two pieces of his photo ID were there. And I specifically know I took them out. So that was, it wasn't an oversight. It was suddenly that they were there when I needed them and I had taken them out. So that was a timeline that had been overridden.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I used those moments to go, okay, I'm not alone. Like there really is help. There really is support that I don't understand that's around me.
Right.
So those are the things. And human beings absolutely can identify those things and can experience them, but it stops presenting itself when we're not paying attention. So one of the things that I try to do always is to ask not only for help, but I ask for the ability to see that I'm receiving help. And that is always, I always get a charge when I remember to ask for the help in seeing that I have what I need.
Right.
So it's not just give me what I need, it's please let me see
let
that.
Let me see it, let me notice
because
it. Right.
It hardly ever comes in the form that you're expecting.
Right, right. And so often there's missiles or there's missives or there's notes from the universe that I'll ask somebody when I'm doing a reading, I'll say to them, so like da 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 da. And they'll kind of go, bop, bop. And I'll go, well, do you see how that's related to this? And they go, oh, wow, I never noticed that before. That there is this kind of alert or, you know, what I like about astrology is you say, this is an important day. Something big is going to happen here. And then something happens, which you might not pay attention to normally, but the chart says this is going to be important, so pay attention. And so that's one of the benefits, to my mind, one of the benefits of astrology is it says, you thought it was a regular moment, a chance encounter or whatever, but this is actually your future, and it's coming right now, so pay attention. You get to make some choices here. Choose wisely, or, you know, gather their phone numbers, you know, like trust the process as it appears. There is, you know, magic afoot, angels around, people that slip the cards back into your pocket when you know damn well you took them out. And that kind of thing, you know, people go, well, you manifested it, Michael. Yeah, you needed it, you know, and the universe is like, hey, babe, you're working really hard. We know you're overwhelmed. Let's pop it back in your pocket. And you kind of go, wow, multiple senses of reality. How'd that happen? But it did, and then we bless it and thank it, and we say, remind me when this happens again for me to notice it so that I'm really tuned into how these levels of reality are all kind of slicing through time. And then secondly, as they slice through time, how I want to navigate through them, because that's the key, is the navigating in clear space. So you're saying, now I don't need to be clean to navigate? Oh, okay, that's a different reality for me, but I'll try it. And while this guy healed me, or healed, you know, popped something, so the work I had done healed me.
I need to be clean to navigate. That's different.
Right.
I need to be clean. But what clean looks like
is different.
It gets it's different all the time.
Right.
You know, it's like I'm not in second grade anymore. I'm in seventh grade, and my day, even though I'm still in the same building, my day is completely different.
Right.
So I need to pay attention to what what the new rules are. And they can change on a dime. I don't need to understand them. I don't have any control over anything, but I need to pay attention to what the new game is. And it's changing daily.
Right, right. And on that note, the British lady says we're done.
Because she never changes.
Because she never changes. A nice bulkhead in the changing world around.
It's one of the things that you can count on when you receive something for nothing.
Right.
Rigidity.
All right. We wish you all goodbye. We'll probably not be here next week, but
if
maybe
I can
the week
do it,
after.
I will, but we'll hunt around
out.
And see how we are, and hopefully the week after we're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so bye,
love
everybody.
Love to you, Anne, and to everybody else.
Big hugs, Michael.
Bye.
Bye-bye.